been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It is the October 26th edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, just 8 days out to the big election, which seems like dominates the headlines of just about every part of our lives these days. Well, we're off to a pretty sloppy start on the Dow, but the NASDAQ actually doesn't look too bad. The Dow being hurt mostly by Boeing, Travelers, a few others. The Dow is down 371 points right now. That's 1.3%. It has improved just a little bit, not much. The Dow is sitting at 27,964, and I've been saying for quite some time, with all this uncertainty in the air, I don't see the Dow moving too far from 28,000 until things get settled, whenever that may be. The NASDAQ, on the other hand, is down just 0.2%. In fact, we're up on the day overall. We have our biggest position here at the firm doing well today and well into the positive. The NASDAQ's down 24 points, 11,522. The S&P kind of splitting the difference between the NASDAQ and the Dow. The S&P is down 0.9%, 30 points. And the S&P sits at 3,435. The Russell 2000 down 1.3%. That's small caps. It's at 1619. Gold, which has been under pressure recently, up just a hair today, $1.70. To 1906. Crude oil's down $1.10, 38.75. That's a low that we haven't seen for a few weeks, several weeks. And the 10-year is rallying just a little bit. The interest rate's down 3 basis points, 0.81 on the 10-year. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, you know, I put a lot of time, I put a lot of effort into my newsletter over the weekend, and the lead story on the newsletter, as it should be at this time, as I laid out the various scenarios, my own scenarios of what could happen next Tuesday, and how the market would react to those various scenarios. And really the only good scenario for the market would be for one side to win fairly convincingly and the other side to throw in the towel and concede and not contend or not, sue or not, whatever, not accept the results. That's the only really good scenario that can happen. And I don't know. It just seems to me like that's the least likely scenario. I hate to be a pessimist here, but it doesn't seem likely that that's going to happen by either side. So we shall see. We take it a day at a time. We continue in the midst of earnings season. It's going much better than expected. That's good news. In fact, right now I think 85% of the companies that have reported earnings have beat their earnings estimates. That's a phenomenal number. That's one of the best numbers I've seen in a long time. I've been saying for the last few quarters, I think the analyst community were a little bit pessimistic and probably overreacted a little bit too much on forecasts going forward due to COVID. And so far, like I say, 85% of the companies beating earnings so far. Now, having said that, we've got 153 S&P 500 companies that will report earnings this week. So if Election Day Tuesday is not enough of uncertainty for the market, hold your horses this week, because we're going to have 123 S&P 500 companies report. But so far, it's gone way better than expected. In fact, this is one of the best quarters I've seen in a long time on a relative basis, okay? We all knew, in fact, when we started this quarter, we were expecting earnings to be down 20% versus the same quarter last year, which did not have COVID in it. This quarter does have COVID in it. And right now, things have improved such that now we're looking at about a 16% drop. So the numbers have come up quite a bit on this quarter. And, of course, this week will be a very busy week. We're going to get some big, big companies, a lot of companies reporting. And we're going to have a really good fix on where earnings for the S&P 500 are by next week's newsletter, which you might want to reserve now. It will be the pre-election newsletter, and it will be an earnings update after 123 companies report this week. And go to GunnersonCapital.com to sample that newsletter for a couple of weeks and see the portfolios, how we're positioned right now, how we've done over the last few years in our various portfolios. GundersonCapital.com. Well, we ended up last week, you know, last week was all about the stupid stimulus. I know, it's not stupid, Bill, we need it. But for the market to just hang on every word coming from Pelosi and Mnuchin over stimulus, the market's eventually got to wean itself away from stimulus. There's got to be some cold turkey at some point in the future. Will it go through withdrawals? I don't know. But the stimulus talks really went nowhere last week. Maybe there's something that gets done this week. Probably not. So for the week, we had the markets all down just a little bit, constrained trading. The VIX really is at the bottom of the heap right now as far as indexes go. And there were some interesting things that showed up in the ranking of the indexes and then the ranking of the asset classes right now. Right now, out of 33 different asset classes and subclasses, there's only three or four that are doing any good right now, and they're actually weakening a little bit here. Today we've got to worry about the coronavirus surge, Europe especially. You had some rioting in Italy yesterday because of the lockdowns and the shutdowns. It seems like people are getting a little weary of that. But at the same time, things are ticking up on the coronavirus front, not just here in America, but across the world, especially Europe, Germany, Italy, Spain, some of the hot spots from earlier this year, a massive uptick in COVID-19 infections. It looks like it's something that's going to be around for a while. Overnight, Hong Kong up 0.5%, China up 0.5%, India down 1.3%, and the aforementioned Europe not having a very good overnight session. Frankfurt down 1.5%, Paris down 0.6%. Eurozone GDP growth revised to 2.1%, but as I said, cases are rising. They're back in positive growth in Europe, but they're also back in positive growth in new infections. Asia-Pacific shares lower amid surge in global COVID-19 cases. So we're watching that. It's having an impact on the market. The three big factors as we begin this new week, actually there's four big factors. One, the upcoming election. Two, the ongoing stimulus talks. Three, the coronavirus situation. I'm going to start tracking that again. I have a spreadsheet. I was tracking that earlier this year on the the rate of new infections, the mortality rate, etc. I'm going to start that up again because it is becoming a big factor in the market once again. And four, earnings all week. And if we don't have enough uncertainty out there, Facebook preps measures for potential election unrest. What is Facebook seeing out there? As the threat of election-related unrest escalates in the U.S., Facebook said it would implement emergency measures reserved for at-risk countries, I guess we would be one of those, to bring down the online temperature. Well, how much will the temperature rise the day after Tuesday? Maybe, remember that, the day after today, the day after tomorrow or something like that about the end of the world and all this kind of thing. Now they're talking about bringing down the online temperature the day after the election. Whatever that temperature may be, and whichever way it may shift, the social media giant plans to limit the spread of viral content and lower the bar for suppressing potentially inflammatory posts. Well, that's a possibility. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now radio. Well, I've been saying for weeks that, you know, this is not your typical election. All right? I know you hear enough about the election on all the other news channels and whatnot, but it does impact, it will have a major impact on the stock market going forward, depending on the outcome, okay? That's why I have to weigh all of this out in my mind. I have to run all the what-ifs through my mind and have a strategy going forward when one of those what-ifs becomes reality. Well, Bank of America is doing the same thing. The U.S. election is just 8 days away now, prompting Bank of America to revisit its take on what the outcome means for the Internet stocks. In other words, the FANG stocks for the most part. They think that the biggest potential risk lies with the large cap fangs. Well, yeah. I mean, either side, it seems like that's one thing that the Democrats and the Republicans do agree on, is that the fang stocks are too powerful. You've got two of them now. Well, you've got Google, officially, that has been charged with antitrust, and you have probably the hammer's going to drop on Facebook here in the real near future. And, of course, the Democrats have also talked about breaking up. I know it's hard to do, but breaking these companies up, what will the regulatory environment, the best outcome, according to Bank of America, would be a Biden victory with a split Congress. And that would make them less likely to approve material regulations. Another possible scenario, a blue sweep might crystallize the focus on breaking up the fangs, along with the prospects of utility-like regulation. Now, I have noticed that Amazon's been pretty squishy here over the last week or two, and I'm sure that Amazon's got to be thinking, well, they're going after Google, they're going after Facebook. And it's not just us, it's also around the world, Europe also. I've noticed, obviously Google stock's been weak, Facebook stock's been weak, Netflix stock's been weak. They also didn't report very good earnings. Apple stock has just been kind of so-so. Their big Apple day was not that big of a hit. And we're really not ramped up for 5G yet here. You can get a 5G phone, but are there a lot of applications for it currently? No. Small-cap internet companies might be least exposed to election uncertainty. And when it comes to a potential blue sweep, you could see some stimulus going into the more infrastructure type of internet and technology companies. And lastly, in California, there's Proposition 22, which is important for the gig economy with Uber and Lyft in the crosshairs. Will California vote? I got a hunch they will. to make those companies have to make their employees, make their drivers employees, no more of the independent contractor business for Lyft and Uber. And I would think that you would probably see Lyft and Uber pull up stakes and leave California if that were to happen. But I can also see other states taking that on. I'm sure New York, New Jersey, Washington State, Oregon, etc., may follow California's lead. So you may want to be a little bit careful with the gig economy stocks. Okay, let's see. China's farm purchases. Okay, how are they doing? How are they holding up the trade deal that was made and then kind of ignored and now has taken kind of a spot on the back burner? China has purchased approximately 71% of its farm purchases target for 2020. So they haven't exactly lived up so far to what they agreed to purchase, but on the other hand, they are buying goods from the U.S. There's a few deals here today. There's a biotech being taken out by Bayer out of Germany. They're buying Asclepios Bio. That's a private biotech, but it's a pretty big deal. $4 billion. I think you're going to continue to see consolidation in the biotech industry, especially by these large drug companies that are trying to expand their drug pipelines. The vaccine, probably the fifth biggest story this week, the progress thereof. AstraZeneca's back in business with their trial. And early results are showing that their COVID-19 vaccine produces a robust antibody and T-cell immune response, especially in elderly people, the group at highest risk. Well, that's good news. That's coming from the Financial Times, because obviously the mortality rate is very much tilted towards age and pre-existing conditions. So it's good news that in the early trials here, well, we're in phase three now with AstraZeneca. They've started back up. And so far, they're seeing a robust antibody and T-cell immune response in elderly people. Now I see Dr. Fauci starting to say, he was saying midway through next year. And, of course, that's the time frame that Joe Biden brought up in the last debate. He said midway through 2022, or 2021 rather, and Fauci just was on a little bit ago talking about possibly by late this year or very early next year. How much will the vaccine cost? We don't know. Will it be a profitable venture for AstraZeneca if it's them or if it's Pfizer? I don't know that it's going to be a big profitable venture. AstraZeneca's deal allows a 20% gross profit. Okay, that's not a very good gross profit margin, because then you've got the expenses to include after that to get to your net profit. At one time, AstraZeneca was saying they were going to sell the vaccine for break even. If they could just break even, they'd be happy. Well, now they're talking about at least a 20% gross profit, which probably by the time you whittle that down might come to a 4 or 5% net profit, something like that. Johnson & Johnson is to resume their pivotal study of COVID-19 vaccine. They had a person die, but they found out it was not vaccine-related. So they're ramping back up. So that's good news. You've got two of the major players right now back in business with their Phase 3 trials. And in the meantime, look at housing prices. I just want to mention that for a little bit. I've noticed our own neighborhood. We had a home go up for sale across the street from us. I told my wife, I said, well, this will be a good gauge for what's going on in our neighborhood. They've got a contract within 2 weeks. I think people are leaving the big city. I think they're leaving the lockdown states, and I think they're moving to the suburbs. That's what I see. And as a result, single-family home prices up 14% year over year. This is Bill Gunderson. A lot of individual stocks to talk about when we come back. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now radio. Well, the market has definitely taken a move to the downside since we started the show. The Dow now down 530 points. Now, okay, I've been warning, you know, I thought this next week it's going to be a little bit volatile, and who knows what happens after Tuesday. You know, I'm sitting on a fairly good pile of cash here at the firm. We've had a huge run at our firm since February of this year. And I started taking some off the table and running commercials about, you know, you might want to at least think about this upcoming election here. The market's not going to continue to rocket higher like it has since it did in February. And I also have a few inverse, very large ETFs, very large liquid ETFs on the S&P 500 and on the NASDAQ. I have a few hedges in place also. Of course, they're doing very well today. The Dow now down 535, and the NASDAQ, which was making a move towards the flat line, has now also turned south by quite a bit. It's down 66 points. And I think with the rising cases of coronavirus, not good for the market, that raises the level of uncertainty on the horizon. And I think, as you know, you sit here today and you wonder what's going to happen next Tuesday. I'm not sure anybody really has the definitive answer as to what's going to happen next Tuesday. I've heard a lot of different scenarios. It seems to come down to three or four. But I can't say that, you know, anybody really knows what's going to happen. That's a big level of uncertainty. You've got, you know, the corporate tax rate out there hanging. You've got the capital gains rate out there hanging, which would be in big impacts on the market. You've got the possibility of a very contested election like Bush versus Gore. I was managing money during that period of time. The market didn't like it. The market doesn't like uncertainty. So you've got some uncertainty. I guess the good thing is eventually when everything gets resolved, the market will come back to following earnings. And at least right now, going forward, the earnings picture looks favorable for the market. But having said that, even in my newsletter, I give out two mathematical formulas. One is based on tax rates remaining where they are now. That's corporate tax rates. That's S&P 500 company tax rates. And the other equation and target price I give out for the S&P 500 going forward is based on going back to where the corporate tax rates were before Trump took them down. So you've got to bake those two scenarios. You've got to take a look at both of them and be ready to act accordingly when one of those possibilities becomes reality. All right, we have a good news in the biotech space today. Mirati Therapeutics, MRTX. Let's see it hanging on to its gains. I always like to see breakthroughs. Oh, boy. Wow. Up $24 a share is MRTX, which is now a $9 billion company out of San Diego, California. I might even know some people that work there. I don't know, but I was there almost my entire life until a few years ago. MRTX Mirati Therapeutics is up 13.7% today. Why? Preliminary results from its mutant KRAS selective inhibitor programs. Well, it helps with tumors, okay? Anti-tumor activity. There's a hot little biotech. Now, when a stock like this comes along, I've actually already have it on my watch list. I have a little separate list. These aren't stocks I own. These are stocks that I have my eye on. And when I go through my different groups of charts and stocks every single day and visit them and check in on them, this is one. I've got about 200 right now in my watch list, okay? Alibaba just keeps getting bigger and bigger. That whole big Ant Financial thing is going to happen. Alibaba is actually up today. We own Alibaba in our premier large cap growth portfolio. Alibaba's up 0.5% today. Alibaba is also teaming up with BMW. That's a strange marriage there. BMW and Alibaba signed a memorandum of understanding for a strategic partnership in Beijing to leverage their own resources and carry out comprehensive cooperation in branding, marketing, end-to-end operations, services, information, technology, and on and on and on. I don't own the BMW stock. That trades on the pink sheets. But I do own Alibaba, a major, major global player in the online retail space. Well, expect to see some commercials in the coming days. But not about your local Senate race, your local Congress race, the national presidential race. American Airlines is going to plan PR events and commercials before the 737 MAX takes to the skies. Yeah, there might be a little nervousness and trepidation about boarding a 737 MAX, but I got to believe it's probably safer now than it ever has been with all of the scrutiny. In coming weeks, the carrier is planning arranging customer tours of the MAX at the Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport. They'll be back in the air soon. Unfortunately, airline travel has been pummeled. I mean, Boeing really got it. They really got just a double-barreled shotgun. First the 737 MAX, and then the coronavirus. Nokia. That's one I have on my watch list. I keep my eye on it. It is a major 5G player. But, you know, I remember reading all of these glowing articles about how Ericsson and Nokia were sitting in the driver's seat once Huawei was cut out of a lot of 5G deals. That has not really panned out, however. I've been watching Nokia. It has really gone nowhere. But they get another contract. They've gotten a lot of 5G contracts. And you know how I tell whether or not this is a big deal for the company? I look at how the stock is reacting. The stock's down 4 cents. Okay, so it can't be too big of a deal. Well, Bank of America's out with their top stock list for Q4. You know, I would just say when I see these major wirehouse firms put out their top picks for the coming year, I almost always say to myself, I'm glad I don't have my money with them. These don't look like very good picks to me. Some of their top picks include Google, Jazz Pharmaceutical, Parker Hannifin, Medtronic, Walmart. I mean, can't you get more creative than that? Amazon is eating Walmart's lunch. And they like extra space storage, Freeport, Mac Moran. Okay, well, you go ahead. You buy their top 10 ideas. Report back a year from now and see how you did. One other one I wanted to bring up here. Some of these pipeline stocks, they're getting hammered. I wouldn't have no exposure to fossil fuel stocks right now. That is one of the worst sectors, and it's been a bad sector for a long, long time. And I see some of the contrarian investors out there pounding the table on the oil and energy stocks. Well, the energy sector's been in the news recently. It's been in the debates. It's the subject of a lot of debates over fracking and over a fossil fuel future. Is there one? Is there not one? I just wouldn't have any exposure. I think it's very telling. In my Best Stocks Now app, I have 66 sectors that I track. The number one sector at the very top are the alternative energy stocks. And guess what the very last ranked sector out of 66 is? Fossil fuels, oil and gas. Having said that, I see one today. They've got a 17% dividend yield. Sprague Resources. I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back with our featured stock of the day. Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour on a big red day in the market. NASDAQ down 125 now, 1.1%. I'm sure my inverse NASDAQ, PSQ, is having a good day today, and QID, which I have in there as hedges, along with more cash than I usually carry. And the Dow is down 590 right now. My hedge there is SH, which is just inverse the S&P 500. You can own the S&P 500 or you can own the inverse S&P 500. Take your pick. You know, and there's times when the market is extra volatile. It was pretty obvious to me. It didn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that we were going to be going through some volatility here in the markets because of uncertainty. And this is a tailor-made time to be hedged in the market. I saw an interesting story today as I was watching the various news channels. I usually have about three of them on at the same time in my office. Who's ever heard of the Smackover Foundation, or Formation? The Smackover Formation in southern Arkansas. Now the other one I think I've been to, the Bristol Dry Lake area near San Bernardino County, California. Oh, I know I've been by that one. What do they have in common? Well, what's the mother's milk to combustible engines? Fossil fuels. And what are we seeing a trend towards? Away from fossil fuels and towards the mother's milk of electric cars. What's the mother's milk of electric cars? Lithium, the lightest metal on the chemical element charts. And with California going now, I think, is it 2035? That's not that far off. If we get there, 2035, you got no more sales of combustible engines. You've got the same thing taking place in New Jersey. Europe is also headed probably ahead of California and New Jersey and heading in that direction. I know Norway's headed. Even though Norway's a big oil producer, much of Europe is going to all electric cars, which is going to just continue to put that much more demand on lithium. Well, I saw a little company today. I added it to my app. They had the CEO on. It's it's 200 million in market cap. So it's a micro cap company. But it's, you know, look, it's not one I'm going to be buying in my managed portfolios. But as an investor and one who's very interested in developments out there and whatnot, Standard Lithium, LTD. They're actually based in Canada. But their big projects for lithium are in the Mojave Desert near San Bernardino. and in the Smackover Formation in southern Arkansas. And I looked at a chart of the stock. I go, what? Look at that thing. It's up 102% over the last few years, while the market's down 40, or is up 42%. STLHF.PK. Now, I'm not saying to go out and buy this stock, but I'm using it as an example of a major seismic shift that's taking place in the transportation industry. There's ETFs that buy lithium that have the lithium stocks. It's LIT, L-I-T. And, of course, Tesla itself is a play on lithium. And then you've got little companies like this who are investing a lot of money in some of the lithium deposits here in the United States. Now, I had no idea that southern Arkansas was full of lithium. And I guess it comes from kind of a salty brine. That's what these two areas seem to have in common. It produces lithium, which is a very volatile metal, but it's also a very lightweight metal. And that's why it's the element of choice for lithium car batteries. And I think, you know, we're moving in the direction of the semi-trucks going back and forth, carrying goods across the U.S., going towards electric batteries with companies like Workhorse and Nikola and just about everybody, it seems like, is getting in on that one. And, of course, personal cars. You know, if you look right now, we don't see that many electric cars on the road in South Carolina. In California, I saw a lot more electric cars on the road. But I just think it's a seismic shift, and I think that we need to keep our eye on the lithium sector. We also need to find sources for lithium. It's not exactly a rare earth metal, but there are certain countries out there in the world that want to dominate the market and get the supplies locked up. So it's very important for us to also have an active supply and pipeline of this metal, lithium. And I was very interested to hear the story of Standard Lithium, STLH. PK, meaning it trades on the pink sheets. It's a almost $200 million company. So anyways, we'll just make lithium our featured topic of the day. All right, well, you know what? If your advisor is just telling you to stay the course here, you know, what was working in March, April, May, June, July, August, and even into September, I think that big run in the market, I think it ended the day the NASDAQ hit 12,000. We are now in a sideways, we're in a sideways pattern in almost all the major indexes right now as we await what becomes of this election, which is just 8 days out. I don't think you're going to see stimulus. Maybe after the election, I don't know. The market's going to have to wean itself away. There's not a whole lot more stimulus to give out. You know, the wells kind of run dry there. So anyways, we're in a little bit of a cautious mode here right now, and we've got a very vigilant, we're on high alert right now at the firm. If you'd like to get in touch with us, 855-611-BEST. My advisors would be happy to talk to you. You got CFPs, CFAs, and people with a lot of experience in this industry. And, of course, I'm the guy who is the chief investment officer and portfolio manager along with my team and the help I get. 855-611-BEST or GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade.
Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.